Wisconsin building codes are threatening to drive some Amish families out of the state, according to our guest lawmaker this hour, or this half hour, and she is trying to come to some sort of resolution to a debate over whether the Amish should have to adhere to regulations that they say violate their religious beliefs. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question or a reaction, we welcome it at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Should Amish families be required to install things like smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors in their homes? Or should religious groups be granted outs from certain state laws? Our guest is Kathleen Vinehout. She is a Democratic state senator from Alma. Her column, When Good People Disagree, ran last week in several state newspapers. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is the issue here? You're getting some letters from Amish families who are upset over certain state building codes?
That's correct. I've received a number of letters from my constituents who are very concerned about several cases that are working their way through the court system in Eau Claire County. And I've heard from advocates for the Amish, people that are volunteering to help them through the legal system, that there's one family that's already left Wisconsin, and there are a number of families that are quite worried that they won't be able to continue their way of life in Wisconsin, and they are thinking about also leaving Wisconsin.
Well, what specifically are they unhappy about? Why would they have to leave Wisconsin?
The Amish believe in a simple way of life, and that simple way of life they feel is violated by the state building code that requires things like electricity, plumbing, and particular to the cases right now up in Eau Claire, also smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. Those are the two issues that are coming forward. The other side of the coin is that the local people at the county are saying there's a state building code to protect people, not just people in your house, but people in the neighborhood and maybe children that need the state's protection, and that's why we have things like requirements for carbon monoxide detectors and building codes. And particularly, there's a former fireman that serves on the Eau Claire County Board that said, you know, I spent my life trying to protect children and other people from damage, and the best way that we can do that is to have a smoke detector and carbon monoxide detector.
So this one Amish family that wound up moving out of state, just give us the basics of their story. They did not want to have the smoke detector in their house and other building code violations, and they got evicted?
Sure. The particular issue in this case had to do with a building permit for a chicken barn, and from what I can surmise, there were people living in the chicken barn, and the county was saying that they should have had a building permit and that the building wasn't safe. So the case in which the Amish people left was a case that was decided by the Eau Claire Circuit Court last summer, and the family left because they felt like their way of life wasn't being respected. This is a very nuanced issue. There's not a clear-cut answer on one side or the other, but the previous court decisions do give the state and people like me that are trying to find that middle ground some direction on what type of law would be acceptable and what kind of decisions the courts have made in the past help us understand what we might be able to do.
Yeah. You introduced a bill last year to exempt those of certain religious groups from, I guess, these codes. But you said you only got two of your colleagues to co-sponsor.
Right. There were only three of us on the bill.
So now what?
Well, the existing laws right now in Wisconsin do exempt a one-room schoolhouse from the Department of Safety regulations, from the building code regulations, and there's a description in state law about what a rural school building would be to qualify for this exemption. So what I did was to expand that exemption to include rural dwellings. This is a similar approach that's been taken in Pennsylvania, in the Pennsylvania law, and Pennsylvania has the largest number of Amish in the United States. The local code administrator is required to grant a variance for a dwelling or a one-room schoolhouse. So I kind of built on existing law and exempted the dwellings as well as what's already exempted, which is the one-room schoolhouse. But there certainly wasn't the appetite this session in the legislature to move forward on a bill like that.
Yeah, so since that legislation didn't go anywhere, do you see an answer to this dilemma?
Well, it's what I'm trying to find. Mm-hmm. One of the pieces of the actions of the court that gives us some direction was a case that was called the State versus Miller, in which a Amish person said that the slow-moving vehicle sign on the back of the Amish buggies violated his religion, and it was because of the bright colors. It was loud, it was garish, and it contradicted his simple life, humble life. And that case went through the courts, and in that case, there was a clear test that the court set out, that there was a burden on the Amish person to say that his individual, he had a sincerely held religious belief, and this belief was burdened by the application of the state law. And then the court said the burden shifts to the state. Is there a compelling state interest, and can the interest be served by a less restrictive alternative? And in this case, a less restrictive alternative was determined, and it was white reflector tape on the back and red lanterns. And it's my understanding that these red lanterns were driven by the action of the wheels, the power that was generated in the action of the wheels. So a middle ground was found that both protected people that drive late at night and are able to see, you know, dark horses and dark buggies, but also that the Amish person didn't have to display what was considered violation of his religion, the slow-moving vehicle sign. And I think it's important for people to remember that they're, just like us, there are different types of Amish. And the type of Amish that are most offended by a lot of these modern ways of life are what we call old order Amish. So a lot of these people don't speak English as their first language, and they're very, very traditional in their way of life.
And Wisconsin does have a very substantial Amish population, and right there in the Eau Claire area is the state's largest or one of the largest concentrations?
Yes, that's correct. And as near as I can tell by reading studies on populations that have been done, the largest population in the state is in Monroe County, which is just to the east of La Crosse, and there are... the largest community is near Cashton, and as near as I can tell, there are about 1,000 Amish in my Senate district alone, which is pretty substantial minority population.
There are a couple of three other states that have Amish populations larger than Wisconsin's. I mean, do other states, are they doing anything to deal with these building code or, you know, regulations that the Amish say are violating their religion?
That's a very good question, Joy. And when I and other legislators try and find a middle ground, one of the places we look is to see if somebody else has already tried to figure that out. And I recently asked our legislative council, which are the attorneys for the legislature, to do some research to help me understand more what other states have done. And the largest population is in Pennsylvania, and second largest is Ohio, third largest is Indiana, and we're the fourth largest. And in Pennsylvania and in Kentucky, there is an exemption, and it's done in Pennsylvania by the code administrator. And that code administrator so it'd be like this, our zoning administrator at the county level, is required to grant a variance for both one-room schoolhouse and a dwelling. In Kentucky, the state deals with the situation a little bit different. They don't look at the individual, they look at the group, and there's something called a special religious use group, And it says that the department, meaning the state itself, so it would be like our Department of Safety, that department then places that particular building of that group in a particular special religious use group, and then they're exempt. So there's two different ways to do this, and one of the things I've asked the attorneys at Legislative Council is to help me come up with alternatives. So what is the mechanism or the way in which the law would work? And it's something that has to be done very carefully, because the Amish themselves are very, part of their religion is that they wouldn't sign an affidavit to swear, for example, in the application of what the state might require as a variance, a certain type of application. So Pennsylvania resolved that by having the administrator, the person at the county, sign the paperwork rather than the Amish person. So it's a fairly complicated process to go through to try and find some middle ground to resolve this problem when good people disagree.
Well, we are talking with Kathleen Vinehout, a Democratic state senator from Alma, about her column that ran in many state newspapers last week. When Good People Disagree, the Case of the Amish and State Building Codes. And we're wondering what you think. Should the Amish in Wisconsin have to adhere to state building codes, especially when they say things like electrical and plumbing regulations, even smoke alarms, go against their religion? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the Amish who live in Wisconsin and state building codes in this half of our state capitol report with a state lawmaker who has tried to pass legislation to exempt the Amish who say that certain state building codes violate their religion, but didn't get much support in the state legislature. So she's trying to come to some sort of a resolution over this. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming maybe your suggestions and your opinions on this. Do you think that the Amish should be required to install smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, or other building code regulations? Or should religious groups be granted outs from certain building code regulations? Let's go to Marty in Elkhorn. Hello, Marty.
Good morning. We live on a lake, and our neighbors across the street wanted to know if their sons could use our pier for their boat, and I said, sure. And then the next thought was, well, what's the legal ramifications? And I talked to my lawyer, and they said, well, have them sign a hold harmless agreement, because if something happens, they're going to come after you. Why not sign a hold harmless agreement between Wisconsin and the Amish? And, the house burns down because of no smoke detectors, people pass away. Well, here's what you signed, so, you got to live with that now.
Mm-hmm. Senator Vinehout?
One of the concerns on any type of a legal document is that the Amish feel that they have to be so careful about what it is that they're signing. One of the parts of the case right now in Eau Claire is that the Amish didn't want to apply for the building permit because they felt like they were signing up to do all of these different things that they couldn't agree to do. And the cases right now, there are three of them that are making their way through the courts that have court dates set for next month and the following month. They hinge on that question of what does it mean to sign this particular document. So having the Amish sign any type of document is something that I have to think about when I think about, well, how is this law going to work. But the point that you have behind the hold harmless is certainly one that's being discussed among Eau Claire. If the Amish don't want to participate in this, does society, in this case the county and the township, do they have a responsibility if the Amish aren't holding up their end of the responsibility? So in other words, if there's a fire and the firemen maybe put at risk trying to rescue the children because they didn't get enough notice because the fire exploded. How far do they go? Do they respond to the call? Obviously, they're not going to go into the building if the building is unsafe. So this your suggestion definitely brings up the issues that I'm grappling with on trying to find that middle ground.
Yeah. And some of the Eau Claire officials were also, weren't they? I mean, it's one thing if I don't have a smoke alarm and my house burns down, but it's another thing that fire could also spread and hurt the neighbors.
Absolutely, and that's certainly why society has the rules that we do, is to protect the neighbors from something that you're doing. So it seems like part of the solution would have to consider the idea that Marty brings up, which is how do we make sure that they're held harmless, that the neighbors are held harmless by this decision from the Amish. And there, it may be easier to resolve this when you think that all of these dwellings are in rural areas,
yeah,
and they're generally not close to other neighbors, but certainly that's something we need to take into consideration.
Yeah, and your piece pointed out that the Amish, I guess, if presented with the option of have a smoke detector there, you know, when the building inspector comes and then just take it down, they won't do that either because it's lying, it's misleading.
It's deceptive,
yeah.
Absolutely, and I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that often Anglos or the rest of us would say, well, some people just remove the smoke detectors. And I remember when we built our house, we had that discussion with the builder. And it's something that the individual person who lives in the house, certainly it happens. But the Amish said, well, we would be going into this knowing that we would be deceiving the state, and that's a violation of what we believe. And our state constitution has a very strong, what's called a conscience clause, that is even stronger than the federal the Bill of Rights that allows for freedom of religion, and because of this conscience clause, that information has made the court decisions a certain way. And when I think about Miller versus Wisconsin in the slow moving vehicle sign and the test that the court set out in that court decision, part of that is because of the strong conscience clause that's found in Article 1, Section 18 of the Wisconsin Constitution. So these are some of the issues that I and legislators have to grapple with finding that middle ground.
Bernie in Elkhorn is with us. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. I give you credit, Kathleen, for standing up for the Amish. I think it's sad that only a couple other people in the legislature were willing to take that position. You know, when I think about the big picture, the Amish, they're more than a religion. I mean, they're a culture, they're a community, they're a way of life. And when I think of the big picture, I think they make a lot of money off of farming, or that's their primary way of life. I may be wrong. And I imagine that they farm very organically or close to the earth. And I think of our culture, where we've got all the pesticides and GMO foods and something that's very harmful to people's health. But the state of Wisconsin isn't going to do anything about that, and yet they'll hassle the Amish about the smoke detectors and building codes. It just shows the power of the state, and I wish them luck, but I think they're fighting an uphill battle with the mentality that people can just tell them whatever they, you know, can just infringe on their way of life.
A quick react to that, Senator Vinehout?
Bernie, I completely agree. And when we think about the state's interests, certainly having the Amish add diversity to Wisconsin, they certainly help our economy. You can't drive very far in Amish country but without seeing something for sale. There's furniture stores, there's quilt stores, there's people who sell honey. Anybody that goes to a farmer's market near an Amish community, taste their delicious breads and pies and all fresh eggs, and I could go on and on about all of the enrichment of our life that the Amish community bring. And it was when I heard that the Amish were leaving because they felt like their religion wasn't being protected, and knowing about the strong conscience clause in Wisconsin's constitution that's what spurred me to go farther than just introduce the bill and see it die, but to say I in good conscience can't let the Amish leave thinking that they haven't been treated fairly, even when our Constitution says that their right to conscience has to be protected. So I'm very motivated to find some middle ground.
Yeah. Let's go to Nikki next in Grant County. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. I absolutely agree with everything Bernie says, and in addition to that, I think they should be exempt for two more reasons. I know a lot of these laws and rules are put into place to protect people, but it's also to protect people from lawsuits and money. And I don't think that the Amish, you know, tend to go that route, and for that reason should be exempt. And if they do get hurt and go into ERs, you know, they pay their bills. They're not in the system and whatnot. And normally I don't like the idea of religious exemption because the logic usually seems pretty bogus to me. But in their case, they actually practice what they preach. I'm constantly amazed by the Amish and their way of life, and it's amazing we all kind of lived like that not that long ago, but I can't even conceive it, and I'm just really glad to see that they're right again and using the government and as it should be used, and, you know, because they do pay their taxes despite rumors out there that they don't, and I'm glad someone's standing up for them.
Thanks very much, Nikki. Let me get one more in. We're almost out of time. Adam in Platteville's been waiting, too, though. Adam, what's your thought?
I think, like, at the forefront, the Amish are really kind of keeping our government in check and protecting a lot of people's civil liberties, whether it be their religious freedom or their just in general their, you know, rights as they stand between the federal constitution and the state constitution. And by them doing things the way they do and living their life and just living it out in faith and walking it out, they end up just protecting a lot more people's rights, whether we realize it or not.
Adam, thank you very much. We have less than 30 seconds. Senator Vinehout, you think a resolution can be found here?
I appreciate the discussion, and yes, I think there's common sense out there, and I've gotten a lot of good ideas from my constituents, and I'd encourage anybody else that has any good ideas or has any information or the Amish themselves to please call my office and help out, and I definitely think we can find a solution to this problem.
Thank you so much for being with us. Kathleen Vinehout, Democratic State Senator from Alma. Her column, When Good People Disagree, ran last week in several state newspapers. This is the Ideas Network.